This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hey there, I'm Adam Lambert, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Hello, and welcome to Been There, Done That, Joy 94.9. Happy New Year to you all, and Happy New Year also from...
I'm Gordon.
And Phil.
Yes, Happy New Year.
It's old now.
It's really old.
Only a few days.
Well, we're still single digits. I don't actually know what the date is.
I was watching the television, and this bloke on the television saying, next year when they have the elections... And they had to. The announcers sort of came back and said, "Excuse me, but it's this year, not next year."
Yes, let's not delay.
And can I please implore people to actually get used to speaking of the year number as 2019?
Mm-hmm.
It's not 2019 because next year it's actually going to be 2020,
mm-hmm.
And we are already used to using the expression 2020 for vision. Efficiency.
Yes.
So, you know, it rolls off the tongue already, and I don't know why so many people still must insist.
Oh, well, because it's the...
Us poor pedants, we're so frustrated.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it? Yes.
I'm having trouble adjusting to this century. So it's been 19 years in and I'm still having trouble.
Where have you been, Phil?
Oh, I just still wish it was 19-something, because that just sounded better.
We want to thank Sean from Brisbane, who listens to us.
Oh, that's very nice.
And also to Connie. Thank you, Connie, who listens to us in podcast form.
Oh, well, Happy New Year, especially to you too.
And if you want to be mentioned on the show, just send us an email at beenthere@joy.org.au.
Thank you for getting the plug in nice and early.
And appropriately.
It's one of our New Year's resolutions as well to pay attention to what you're telling us to do.
I don't make New Year's resolutions, do you?
Why not?
Because I'm perfect already. There's no reason why I should make one.
I can never remember them.
I was going to say that I've tried that activity over all these years and I've never kept any of the resolutions, so I've given up.
You've resolved not to have resolutions.
Yes. I decided many, many years ago that they were stupid anyhow, so I'd never bothered with them.
If I stopped doing things because they were stupid, I'd never do anything.
But a couple of the things that I have done have been to alter my concept of self-care. So I generally around the house now, when I'm having an evening meal, will restrict myself to one glass of wine, mm-hmm. or one beer and not go and empty a bottle or whatever, as had been known to happen. Uh-huh. So that's sort of looking after myself, but it's a resolution that I don't need to, as it were, state and hang off New Year's Day.
But you also don't have to stick to it. I mean to say, if there's a time when you feel like having two glasses of wine, well, you may do.
Well, or likewise, having no glasses
of
wine.
Yeah, this is right, yeah.
Have a dry day. Friday, dry day.
I don't like wine. Problem solved.
I only have wine about once a week, I think, when I go out to visit old Ted and we have a bottle of wine for dinner.
Mm. It's, I'm not going to call it a sad reflection, but it is a reflection upon our society at the moment that we have booze ads on the TV.
Mm. Booze and bets.
Yeah, and that we consider that we've got to raise a glass, have someone's birthday, raise a glass of, and it's always alcoholic.
You don't have to. You can do it in water, or you can do it in a squash or something like that.
Boring.
My parents never touched anything stronger than apple cider, non-alcoholic apple cider.
Oh, golly gosh, well, good.
That didn't rub off on me.
But other people find it, and I'm not wishing to point the finger at the younger generation, but I think it's a lesson that you learn that you then apply later in life when you've stopped having a good time.
Yep.
But when you're young, you say, let's go for it. And they, use liquor as part of the lubrication.
But that leads us into a segue into the next thing we're going to talk about, because alcohol is basically a drug.
Well, it is, you know, as is tobacco.
And you're right there.
And they advertise
those. It's legal to sell both of them.
Yeah.
But over the Christmas period, there were so many of these young people were taking the wrong sort of drugs. I don't know how many people died. There was about 3 or 4 people died from taking, having wrong drugs
pills.
Or pills or something. Rather,
yeah.
You know.
I know that people are making these drugs and trying to offload them and make a mozza in the process.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that people should really expect that those pills that come out of a pocket are actually pharmaceutically tested and safe.
Well, this is the problem. That's why I think that a lot of people are now saying that to test the pills before you go to these music. They go to these music festivals.
Of course, you don't get them until you've been through the gate.
That's
right. Someone's brought a sack full in.
That is right. Yeah, yeah.
The trouble is that there's a certain age group where you don't acknowledge your own mortality, and they actually do not see the same risk that we do in buying an unlabeled, untested mystery drug. Because it's deliberately, it's a mystery drug. You're not buying, well, you probably think you're buying something, but there's no guarantee you're going to get that.
I did notice that on one of the television stations, they were running the liner underneath the news item, and they were warning people at one music festival there was an orange pill for people not to take that because it was not very good, apparently.
Yeah.
You know?
But, Phil, you're correct in saying that the indestructible younger generation should actually perhaps look at the photos of the people who've been injured and have died at dance parties.
It would take a certain level of shock treatment.
Yeah.
But I can go back a few years ago when they were taking young drivers who were on their L plates into the hospitals and to the morgues to see the results of bad accidents. It did stop them. People were saying, God, I'm not going to do stupid things and get that. But there was also a very interesting letter over the week about people that use drugs or want to use drugs to take them into hospitals and to morgues to see what happens when you have these things. You know, it's
only going to help a certain type of person.
Oh, yeah, though, yeah.
Because there's still people tonight are going to go out and drink and drive because they think they can handle it. And that probably won't change until they're wrapped around a light pole and they'll think, well, gee, that sobered me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, here I am up in heaven, playing a harp.
But this education will only go to those who want to be educated.
Yeah.
Did you realise at one stage coffee was banned?
Yes.
As being a stimulant.
But it was not, they didn't realise it was a stimulant. It was King Charles II that decided to close them because they were rooms of revolt.
I just want to personally support this ban.
Because you don't drink
I don't
coffee.
Like coffee.
But that's the only reason it was banned. It wasn't because of the drink. It was because all the intellectuals gathered at the coffee house and Charles didn't like the idea that they could be plotting against him.
Ooh.
So he banned the coffee houses.
But I would never have thought of the English as coffee drinkers. That's such an American image.
But
but this was way back earlier, even before.
Well, it's before my time, it's 1600 or something.
Yeah. But there was all this result of drinking this new creature, coffee, and as Gordon just said, the king of the day thought, uh-oh, they're plotting against me.
He did it on the 27th of December. And he had to rescind it on the 8th of January the following year, 1676, because it was infringing on the rights of people to drink a fluid or something or other. You know, it was individual rights. But he thought that they were all getting in there and all these intellectuals were going to overthrow the crown. And
well, of course, chocolate as well has been listed along the way during history as being something that you should treat with care.
I heard an interesting quote the other day about chocolate. Have you ever seen a recipe for leftover chocolate?
Never.
It doesn't exist.
Yes, you're right there.
But, okay, 1675.
Yeah.
Was the monarchy ruling everything or was there an elected government?
There was a parliament. King Charles had a parliament, but he actually he cancelled the parliament. As I'm going back in history, but it's something I've read, but I'm sure King Charles II had the divine right. He had they were divine.
Yeah,
God appointed them.
What was he worried about with these private gatherings?
Well, he thought that he was a bit annoyed with the Parliament at the time, you know, and they were having a whole thing going on. If you'd have to go back into the into a history book and really look it up. But I vaguely remember reading about the parliament, and it's often in the crossword puzzle about the name of the parliament that he formed after the parliament was thrown out or something.
Right? Yeah. But back in, before this particular date of Charles 1652, back in 1475 is the first recorded mention of a coffee house, and that was in Istanbul. Or Constantinople
at the time.
And if you've ever seen Turkish coffee, it is in some ways
drinking
presented
mud.
Like the tea ceremonies in Japan or pomp and ceremony. But yes, is this coffee freshly ground? Yes. Yeah, you can see all the mud in it.
It was ground yesterday. And the ground you're standing on.
Yeah, but it's. I do remember now that, of course, Charles II was the one that had to flee England.
Oh, he was a popular chap,
yeah.
Was he?
And he left from where the place where my father was born, Bridport in Dorset, went to France from there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh. I thought Bridport was for people who couldn't say Bridgeport. It just seems incomplete.
Oh, thanks a lot. We got Sam Sparrow talking black and gold. Oh, that's cheap groceries, isn't it?
Cheap Sparrow.
And music.
He's just had treatment for that.
You're on Joy.
Cause if you're not really here, then the stars don't even matter. I'm filled to the top with fear that it's all just a bunch of matter. Cause if you're not really here, I don't wanna be either. I wanna be next to you. Black and gold, black and gold, black and gold.
Joy 94.9.
And you're with Chris, Gordon and Phil. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9.
Yes.
Or on podcast.
Very
take
good.
Us wherever you are.
Yeah, that's good. Being the new year, there's lots of things that have been happening in the new year, haven't they?
Well, there's been lots of things happening overseas that we haven't actually caught up with. And just by the by, I hope you enjoyed our two musical programs that we did on
Christmas night
and New Year's Day night.
That's day right. Night, Kat and Kim, yeah.
Yes, because it was fun doing them, and we don't always get to play that sort of music, but we did this time. In Germany now, what's happened in Germany over the last couple of weeks, Gordon?
Well, Germany now legally recognises intersex people as change in law comes into effect. They've passed a new law that officially recognises intersex people.
They've recognised that there is more than two genders.
That's right.
And they're on the way to the flow-on effects of this, of changing passports, presumably, and recognising the rights of those that can't identify to the binary.
It's been under consideration for a while, apparently, and it just they passed it in the beginning of the year as a New Year's thing for the intersex. There is an estimated 0.5 to 1.7 people of the world's population has been born with intersex traits, so that there are quite a few people that have got the intersex trait,
yeah.
You know. But now and they're saying that the children should not be operated on to make them either one sex or the other.
Yeah,
that they should be allowed to live as they are and develop.
Well, let the body decide which way
that's
it's
right.
Going to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which it seems sensible now, but it must be horrible for parents
to
who
wonder.
Have been forced to decide early on because you just don't have the evidence to
prove that
to know
what's
where
gonna
it
happen.
Can.
Yeah, yeah.
But the diverse German citizens will require a certificate of approval from a doctor. That's some appointment, isn't it?
At least there's a bit of recognition there, but I suppose it's self-appointment because there would be legal discrimination that they need to get around, and this might be the, as it were, the passport that then gives them the green light to access appropriate services.
Chris, we've got something here in Australia now, haven't we, about passports for... They've changed the rules for passports
in
Australia,
haven't
we?
We've got the three genders. The three options.
Options, yeah.
There's not three genders. There's more than three genders.
Yeah, that's right.
Not the male or female.
Just non-binary.
There are others. And
if you look around at the moment, there's a lot of, in particular, male celebrities or actors, I don't know if coming out is a word, but expressing their gender fluidity. And that's like dressing up in a skirt for a photo shoot or something like that.
There's a wonderful program starting on the SBS this week too.
Butterfly,
yes. It's had wonderful reviews from overseas. It's been absolutely wonderfully received.
And what's the...
It's the little boy Max wants to become Maxine. And that's the whole thing of the story.
And the story about the family.
The family and
coping
the
the processes and the,
It's on SBS. I think it starts on Wednesday.
I thought it was about the 25th anniversary of the butterfly enclosure at the zoo.
No, that was just
the other day.
No. It should be very interesting. I'm going to be recording it and watching it, that's for sure.
Ricky Martin and Juan Joseph welcome a baby daughter. Now, there was a wonderful end to the 2018 for Ricky Martin and his second husband, Juan Joseph, who've just welcomed a baby girl, Lucia, into their family. Beautiful and healthy and happy and everything. Wonderful. But that's interesting that a person in the public eye has received a favourable response to what a few years ago would have been really amazing. How dare a guy seek a child through a surrogate?
Yeah, but there was when he came out as well, which was another thing too. But then I think because most people thought that he was gay anyhow, when he by coming out, it didn't sort of make much difference. No, he was still singing very well.
But gay doesn't necessarily you want to be a parent.
That's true too, but I know you know a lot of gay parents as well.
What his Spanish, his Latino background would give him surely the label of needing a big family around him.
But he's also he also has twin sons as well.
Oh yeah, from the earlier
Valentino and Mateo.
He's not the leading edge because Elton John and Doogie Howser, I forget his name, both have children.
Yes.
And I've got to have my Simpsons reference for Ricky Martin. They were having a meeting at the school hall, and it was in winter, and groundskeeper Willie was up on the roof with the air conditioning unit, and he turned it up to maximum heat. And he said, "This thing's working harder than Ricky Martin's girlfriend."
Phil, while you've got the microphone, would you like to tell us about Ellen DeGeneres?
Yes, she's a woman from New Orleans. What else would you like to know?
Well, married to Portia Rossi.
Well, she came out on her sitcom and promptly had the sitcom cancelled.
Yes.
It was really bad when she came out.
This must be daytime TV.
No, it was an evening sitcom, and she disappeared into the showbiz dust.
Ether.
And came back 17 years ago with a talk show in daytime. And hit
She
gold.
Came out.
Well, she was already out. So she was out and proud and accepted by Mr. and Mrs. America.
And she stayed out.
Yeah. Well, she now has a segment on her show where they show something that straight people have done that was a bit silly. And there's a recorded sound and a screen over that and it says, "Oh, straight people." And that's the whole segment. So she's not hiding behind anything anymore. And it's got multiple daytime Emmys. It's a very fun show.
She's become bigger, as big as Oprah was. Is that the way?
Oh, no. Oprah's at another level for some reason. Ellen is still, it's a G-rated show because that's her type of humour.
Yeah.
And you've just got to watch a few episodes of how she helps people either with money or with careers and all sorts of things. And she'll have, you know, outstanding guests that have been on again and again. They earn a seat in the studio, so they name studio seat after them. It's, it can easily see why she's one of the most admired people
because
in America.
She's just been voted the most admired person in America.
And she never would have conceived that as a gay woman.
No, no.
You know, 20 years ago.
But that's this is where television is so far ahead of the movies.
Yeah, and it can everything. Lead and it can actually help with acceptance.
Mm, that's right, yeah.
Mm. And Michelle and Barack Obama are in the list as well, apparently.
They're a pretty special couple, those two.
Yeah, but Donald Trump, Donald doesn't like them.
Well, he can't fit into the Santa suit like Barack can.
Yeah, that's true.
You're on Joy. Been there, done that, Gordon, Phil and Chris.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. Joy.org.au for the world.
And you're with Chris, Gordon and Phil. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. A couple of resolutions occurred in the new year, and one of them was actually called a yacht by the name Resolution.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Yeah, and what was that? What was this yacht doing? Probably the Sydney to Hobart yacht race. Yes. Now, Phil, you've got an opinion.
Well, it's a bunch of rich people with nothing better to do, and I call it the Sydney to Hobart snob race. But that's just my personal opinion, yeah.
That's
not
right.
Being
and
a sailor myself.
Can you hear us objecting to that opinion? You're entitled to hold that one.
Well, Gordon was an ex-sailor.
I used to yacht race as well, but there was only a three-hander on this one, and it was a 21. How big is in 21 feet in metres? So about nearly 7 metres, I suppose.
Yeah.
And there was just the three of us on board the boat, and I was the forward hand.
21 feet. Imagine all the shoelaces.
Yeah. and I
know all about yachting.
What they were doing, I could appreciate the way they were going with starboard and port tax and starboard tax and all the rest of it. And
yeah.
I knew what they were doing. I could see somebody almost banging in, but they managed to.
It was a real contest against nature.
Well, that's what it is.
It started in 1945 after the World War II,
mm-hmm.
presumably. You know, that was part of the...
But it wasn't a race then. It was just, let's just sail to Hobart.
Yeah.
And then somebody claimed bagging rights because they were the first one there, winner's rights or whatever they wanted. And from then they said, well, let's make it a yacht race.
This could have all been prevented if in that first race or for the first event, the guy who said, let's go to Hobart, if somebody just said, why? and just not done it.
It isn't a particularly smooth highway from Sydney to Hobart.
Especially going across Bass Strait.
Bass Strait, it's fairly well out from the land stage.
But it was 20 years ago? I think this race was the 20th anniversary of that storm that hit where they had 40 metre waves and people drowned and people were killed and people were lost.
That was in 1998, so
20 years ago. It was the 20th anniversary, and they did a very wonderful thing as they were sailing past the thing. Everybody's open on the radio frequencies, and they did a memorial service.
Minute silence, wasn't there?
No, but then they repeated the actual thing that was done at the actual memorial service,
that's brilliant.
It was lovely. Well,
originally there was just your compass that took you to Hobart.
But then
there was radio communications back to land,
mm.
and now there, of course, is satellite tracking.
Mm.
Except that one boat was very naughty and didn't turn on their location.
But apparently they did turn it on and it didn't work, apparently. They didn't realise it wasn't working.
They were excused.
And they were excused,
the
yeah.
Were they? Yeah, it sounds like a boys' club.
I hear a sceptic talking.
But
the point is that these days, once upon a time, they used to have one of the Navy ships used to follow them down.
Hmm.
That was in the early days. I can remember when the Navy used to.
I mean, it's not fun and games.
Oh, God. But if the weather's good, you just sit on the side of a boat as ballast. And you sit there for four bloody days and you get a very wet bum.
Oh, golly gosh.
Yeah.
I'd rather stay home and do that.
One little thing that was left over from our new news stories was in relation to HIV. Now, We're lucky to be in the era when we're knowing more and more about the virus, and we've got various tools that we can use. But the scientists have actually realised that HIV status is undetectable. There is still reservoirs within the human body where the cell is lurking.
That's right. It stays
in
there.
And they want to... they think they've found a tool that can actually kill those cells. One of the problems is, I believe, that some of those cells could be in the brain, and they don't know what the effect is if they put in a poison to kill off that those little reservoirs.
Because if they're in cells, the whole body is comprised of cells,
yeah,
isn't it? You know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
There must be some in the brain because, well, let's face it, there was HIV mental illnesses and all that sort of business, you know. So it's, yeah.
So whilst there is the PrEP and the other retroviral medicines that are keeping people relatively healthy and quite healthy, there is still this danger that if they stop the medication, then bang, they won't need anybody else. The cells that are already in the body can reactivate, come back again.
But this investigation was done by a very renowned institute, the Institut Pasteur in Paris, which was one of the Institut Pasteur, I think it was, that found the actual cause and the actual HIV virus way back at the beginning. Yeah.
Mm.
So they must have been continuing with their investigation into the disease all this time.
We should also caution this with the actual headline, a potential new breakthrough
in
treating AIDS.
Look, it'll take months and years of experiment and everything because now they have the PrEP, which is holding it. They don't have to, it's not as urgent that they kill it straight away. They can keep going until they finally work out exactly what has to be done. And that's why it will take probably a number of years for it to come to fruition.
And this is just the Western world.
Yeah.
The rest of the world is still needs a lot of help.
Well, of course, the cost of the drugs that you have to have in some of the countries like Africa and all the rest of it and Asia, they're very, very expensive drugs.
Yeah, well, Bill Gates Foundation
is doing
a lot of funding on that front.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But, yeah, we have to, I guess, appreciate how lucky we are to live in a Western society with the medical advances.
Well, Australia's reaction to the HIV virus was one of the best in the world.
We've come a long way since then.
We've come a long way since, yeah.
And at least our government is providing PrEP under prescription at a fairly reasonable, cheap, effective rate, whereas some other countries you've got to buy your own, and it's very expensive.
Chris, the thing that they have to really concentrate on is the younger people, because a lot of younger people, they're like older teens and all the rest of it, they've never experienced what we experienced, so that they have to be made aware that this is still available, you know, that the disease is still there.
It's still there, yeah. Mm. Well, I hope that we don't go back to the pictures like shock therapy, for drugs and car accidents. But
we need to teach that safe sex is not a sometimes thing.
No, it's an everyday thing.
Yeah. Not every day if you're lucky.
Well, the point is that either that or it's monogamy, you know, once you find out what your status is to stay monogamous. Yeah. It's interesting that they're still working on something.
Yeah,
to do it. Yeah, you know, that's the wonderful thing.
They should never give up.
No.
And you're listening to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9.
Now in Canada.
Oh, in Canada, one of my favourite countries in the world,
where Canadians come from.
Yeah,
that's right. There's a Catholic priest there who's got the wrong end of the stick.
Well, he's a bit of.
He actually says that Satan designed the rainbow flag. Now, excuse me, just because that poor guy has died who did invent it and is not here to defend himself, this rat bag has decided that
his comment was that no one is that smart that they could invent a flag like that, so it must have been done by Satan.
Yeah.
Hello.
I thought Canada was educated. Well, my opinion's changing.
You're talking about an institution that's been around for years.
This is a man who works for the Catholic Church.
Yeah, but they have been in control of society for so long, and it's
what they still think they are.
Yeah,
I've got some news.
And there's been a very interesting series on the television about the popes, and when you look at that and you see what the early ones did, they weren't very religious.
No, oh, definitely not.
Oh, God, political.
Very selective in what they followed in the books.
Yeah, my word. Yes, it's been a very, very interesting series. They did say that the current Pope Francis is very, very different from the rest of them because he's a Jesuit and they have to do a hell of a lot more training than the ordinary priests do.
Ah, but he's turning out to be less reasonable than we were hoping.
Oh, yeah, but he's still a little bit more reasonable than some.
Yeah, we've got a way to go.
Yeah, but they all have a way. Because let's face it, we've been here since when they wrote the Old Testament, so why are they worried about us, you know? When the well, we mentioned it.
Man is just one of the many species on Earth that exhibits homosexual tendencies, but man is the only one of those
that asks why.
Who is homophobic?
So that's why we have people churches and not penguin churches. Because penguins don't care.
Penguins don't care, no.
Well, a couple of men in Malaysia were dragged out of their car and attacked in an act of homophobia. And it shows the development of that particular country's attitude towards the gay community there.
But there's plenty of gay people in Malaysia.
Oh, yes. Well, we know that.
Mm.
We've been there, done that.
Mm.
And especially when they were students out here. They already knew what it was all about.
But of course,
once again, it's the strictness of their own culture that needs to be manipulated and softened, and that will occur with generational change.
Well, it's the Muslim world, you see. This is what they don't like. And it's not only the gay people that are... what have you, it's the ordinary straight people too that get stuff like in the news just recently about the young girl that wanted to flee to Australia away from the family because she didn't want to marry some bloke that they'd said that she had to.
Yeah, no arranged marriage for her.
She, a gorgeous looking lady, gorgeous looking woman, yeah.
But
that's what happens.
Back in Wales, showing the acceptance of the general public and society, a Welsh policeman has been awarded a British Empire Medal in the New Year's Honours for services to policing and the LGBTQ community. He is Cairn Newton Evans, a chief officer in the Special Constabulary of Difford Powers in Wales. He's been awarded this BME. The medal is only given to those who have shown meritorious civil or military service worthy of recognition by the Crown.
Chris, his thing was very interesting because he was belted up by... he was a gay man. He was belted up and nobody bothered to come and help him.
Mm.
And then when he recovered, he decided to join the police force.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, we've done it the other way. We've established the GLOWS
here in
Victoria Police.
Yeah. They have them in Sydney too, don't they?
They do, but I'm not sure whether we were the first.
I think we were the first.
Let's claim it.
We were the first, yes. I think we were the first with, I can't remember his name, the wonderful sergeant.
Scott Davis?
Scott Davis, that's the man, yes.
Okay, and Melinda Edwards.
And Melinda Edwards and Gabby Tayak.
There's quite a few of them now. And
they do have podcasts here on Joy.
And they're very effective in the police force. And
that's right.
Well, Christine Nixon joined in and Marsh with us. So there we go. You're on Joy.
Love radio? Joy is now on iHeartRadio. Turn us on anywhere.
You're with Chris Gordon and Phil. Been there, done that, Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us.
Mm.
We've been talking on previous shows about pollution and recycling and these sorts of topics.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a date when drinking straws were not plastic. Now, when was this?
Tuesday, January the 3rd, 1888.
That's when the product was patented.
That's when they patented the thing, but it was first of all made in a cigarette holder factory. They used the papers.
Please explain.
Well, the papers that were going to make cigarettes, the fellow decided that he could roll them around into a thing and make them into a straw, a drinking straw, because somebody was having trouble drinking out of a cup or a mug or something.
I've tried to do that, and the paper melts. The glue that holds it together.
I think he put some beeswax or something in it to make it so that it wouldn't.
Beeswax.
Mind your own beeswax.
Yes, yeah. So that the liquid didn't affect the paper, but then it developed into a highly useful item of people to drink out of something that they couldn't put their mouth around.
I can remember when plastic straws were the new novelty.
Yes, I can remember paper ones, and I can remember when they bought the plastic ones in too, and everybody went, oh, look at these. But boy, haven't they created havoc.
But I think the paper ones that we used to use were actually a little bit wider.
They were bigger, I feel.
And you could actually drink it quicker. And I can remember slurping the bottom of my malted milk.
This is perception. You need to go back to your primary school and see that it's actually shrunk.
It's a lot smaller than
it was when you were there. So those big straws were because our mouths were somewhat smaller.
You're a spoiled sport, aren't you, Phil?
Yeah, but the
modern plastic straws are officially evil. They've been outlawed in some countries and some cities in America. And paper is on its way back.
Yeah, they're remaking paper straws now again.
Well, plastic straws, like all other plastics, seem to end up in the Pacific. Just floating there, degrading.
Did you see that series about the chap that took his family to the Galapagos? And they had to go into one of the other little islands around the thing. It was a fair way out. And it was just covered with plastics. It's just washed up off the Pacific Ocean.
And they're going to be there forever.
And they're going to be there forever. Yeah. Although they actually break down into the little tiny particles, which then get
into
the
fish. Which the fish will then eject.
And then if you eat the fish, you get the plastic particle in yourself.
So we'll end up as plastic robots before we know it.
Probably.
Well,
yeah,
we're probably halfway there already.
Well,
we've swallowed.
Some of the people that you see on the television look like robots anyhow, don't they?
Well, the red-headed ones.
Especially the people that sit in a place called Canberra.
I was thinking of Washington, D.C.
Oh, well, they're both the same place.
Oh, golly gosh.
I think he's got to be 90% plastic.
Now, be careful, just because our own political history doesn't seem to have people like that in it. We have ourselves come from humble beginnings.
Oh, yes.
In the beginning, we were
convicts.
One or two states only.
Yep.
Then we ended up being a few more. We're currently 6 and 2 territories, or is it 3 territories? Because we've got Northern Territory and the Australian Capital Territory, but there is also that naval base on the south coast of New South Wales. That is actually proclaimed a separate little territory.
Oh, is it? The naval base there?
Jarvis Bay?
You've forgotten another one.
What?
In Western Australia, was it the Hutt River Province?
Oh, the Hutt River Province. Oh, yes.
I haven't heard from them recently.
I think he's carked it.
No, he probably is, but I think the prince has taken over. The hereditary prince has taken over the family business.
Green frog?
But we're talking about this because we have just passed Australia Day, the official Australia Day, which was the 1st of January.
When it was declared the joining together of all the states.
That's right.
Into a single
Commonwealth of Australia.
Wealth. No, two words, Commonwealth. It was a common country, very common in some ways.
Very common.
But yes, that's when it was possible for other people to actually refer to the legal identity, Australia representing all the states and all the people therein.
That's right. But then it was still a number of years again then before the states, even though they were in a Commonwealth, were still responsible to the British government. And then they changed in the 30s. They changed that so that they didn't have to do this, and they were then responsible to the federal government. Yeah,
there were various laws that were enacted in other jurisdictions which we've used as legal precedents.
That's right.
And those laws sometimes had to be changed or the equivalent made in our own establishment, in our own country or our own state or council, to formally legally state the situation for us.
But the point is it was written so long ago, that our constitution was written so long ago in the 1890s, you know.
Exactly, but that's why even the 1st of 2000, 1901, I mean, 1901.
Yeah, that's right, 1901.
Things weren't quite right, and it took quite a few years, and laws changed, etc., before we came properly independent. It was about how many years? 100 years?
Well, we're still, yeah, well, it was not.
Well, the Australia Act of 1983.
Yeah.
86.
We did stop the people being able to go to the Privy Council in Britain. That was in about the late 60s, early 70s, I have
so
a feeling.
So we've done it all in-house now.
So it's all in-house now. They can only go to the Supreme Court.
But we're growing up, but we're not quite in our big boy pants yet.
Yeah, the High Court, I beg your pardon. The Supreme Court is in the state and the High Court is the federal. But the thing is that the we have to rewrite the Constitution to include our Indigenous population.
We do.
They have to be done. There has to be a Bill of Rights brought in so that we do know what we can do and what we can't do if they want to get things like that done.
Well, let's ask for one at a time and let's hope the new government that hopefully we're going to get is able to do one of these landmark steps.
Yeah, but it has to happen because you cannot leave a significant portion of your population out of the Constitution. It just does not. It's not right.
So we'll come up with another sorry, and actually do something.
Would you reckon?
Would that help?
Would help a little if they did something to actually recognise our Indigenous population. Because let's face it, they've been here for 40,000-50,000 years.
Yeah, as we were told in the GAN slow trip on the TV last weekend.
Mm.
And when they went through various parts of the Australian continent on this train trip from Perth to Sydney.
That's the Indian Pacific, not the GAN.
Yeah, and they went through various nations, Aboriginal nations, and they indicated where they started and ended and how long they'd been there.
Because the Noongar people are the original of the whole of almost the southwest of Australia, the Noongar. Yeah. The Noongar. Mm.
But there we are. So wouldn't it be good if we actually made a couple of few steps forward?
That's why I always say that the 1st of January is Australia Day and not the 26th of January.
Oh, yeah, that's a jolly good. You should get up on a soapbox.
Don't get me on it.
We'll hear more about that later in the month.
Yes. That's New South Wales Day if they want to keep it at that.
I think it is about time for us to go, so thanks very much for being with us.
Yeah.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Joy 94.9. This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. Joy.org.au for the world.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.